Aaron, let's talk a little bit about what you do, because your vocation kind of assisted here, didn't it?
Keeping him moving a little
Yeah,
bit.
yeah.
Yeah, I am a CrossFit coach. I've been doing that about 6 years, and yeah, we keep him exercised, keep him moving, and yeah, it's great. Love it.
All right. I want to talk about the training regimen that you put Mike through to get ready for this trip.
You get the Eye of the Tiger out and Rocky
Oh yeah,
movies and
definitely. Definitely.
what did
Having
your
him running up the stairs.
what did the training regimen look like? Well, how do you get ready for a 200 mile cross country hike?
Well, it's interesting because you don't. I think some people do, but the problem is you need a lot of time because it's really training time on your feet. And so, I'd go out for hikes, just go up Tom's Thumb or Camelback or something like that. But, nothing kind of prepares you for sun up to sundown, just trolling around on your feet. And so, I would say I was completely unprepared. And each day that I walked just prepared me for the next day.
The hiking I've done, and I haven't done 200 miles. About 50, 60 miles is about as far as I've gone. But boy, its foot protection is like at the very caloric consumption, and right behind that is foot protection.
And
So what do you do? How do you shop your way through? I mean, you open a Cabela's magazine and you have 400 different choices for footwear.
yeah, so I was reading a lot of other people's blogs that have done, Pacific Crest Trail or Appalachian Trail, and they recommend taking your most comfortable shoes that you wear every day and using them. Unfortunately, mine fit just right, which I didn't take into account the swelling. And so I probably, in retrospect, I would have done something a size, probably a full size larger, because once I started blistering and swelling, then it just kind of built upon itself. And before you knew it, I had feet twice the size that I normally have. And so I have pictures of blisters, like my little toe had a second little toe attached to it.
Oh man.
And once you're out there, there's not much you can do. There's not a REI on the trail that I could stop in and get another
You didn't
pair of
skin a
shoes.
couple rabbits and put some hide on those feet Indian style?
No, I did do a couple little small sections where I just wore flip-flops just to kind of let my feet kind of
Breathe.
breathe and get that swampness, that's sitting from the socks out of there.
Well, I know of what you speak. It took me about three trips to the Grand Canyon to realize, Rosie, you really need a shoe at least one and a half sizes over your normal shoe, particularly with all the downhill the Grand
Right,
Canyon includes.
exactly.
I mean, I finished the first Grand Canyon traverse, and the fellow I was traveling with said, "Now it really feels good if when you get back in town you have a pedicure." And I said, "Well, I'm not going to pay for a pedicure with only one toenail."
Yeah, this wasn't quite Grand Canyon-esque, so I only lost two toenails,
Yeah,
which,
that's awesome.
yeah,
That's incredible. So you really leave your front door in your daily comfort walking shoes?
Yep. Yeah, and
That's a pair of tennis shoes? It's a pair of high ankle Merrell
it was
boots
the
or?
low cut Merrell, the soft, kind of the, I don't know what do I call them, like outdoor runners or something like that. They were soft. There was no leather. Maybe a little bit higher than a running shoe, but that seems to be the trend now, because the lightweight. I met a couple guys on the trail that were running or walking in just plain running shoes.
Now I'm thinking what I know about the Matazels, bushwhacking up the western slope of the Matazels. There had to be a time or two in there you think, "I wish I had a little more ankle support."
No, I just wish I had more water.
Okay.
Whatever your pain point is, that's all you're thinking about. So I wasn't too worried about my feet at that point.
Well, let's talk about that. So you leave your house, and how far do you make it the first day?
The first day was my biggest day before I got up north. It was a 25-mile first day.
That's booking it.
It was. And I left at about 4 or 5 in the morning. And I had to get to the Verde River because that's my first water source. Between my house and the Verde River, there really isn't anything.
How much water are you carrying to get you that 25 miles?
3 liters.
Okay.
And then when you get to the river, what's that?
How much did you have when you got to the river?
Oh, that one I was fine.
Okay.
That trip between my house and it was just below Horseshoe Dam is where the first night was, And I've done that one before. So I did it as a test one. I had Aaron drop me off on Bartlett Dam Road, and I would hike back to the house and said, oh, I'm feeling pretty good. So it was everywhere where I kind of had been before, the water was just fine. 3 liters tended to be like about the proper amount.
All right. I carry a lot of the survival straws, ceramic cartridges and stuff like that. How do you harvest the water and know it's drinkable?
I did a lot of research on this, and the tool is called Sawyer Squeeze. And essentially you take this foil pouch and you fill that up with water from the stream or the lake or whatever. And then you kind of curl it over like a toothpaste tube into the ceramic filter. And then you attach that ceramic filter to like a Nalgene bottle or what have you. So that was my source.
What kind of time does it take for it to process that water for drinking?
Nothing. You could literally sit there right at the stream and suck out of the thing to get your water.
And then no chemical treatment at all?
Nothing
at all.
I did bring some iodine tablets just in case I had some really sketchy water, but I never used them.
Okay.
So why did you leave the river? I'd have stayed on the Verde. I'd have just walked in the Verde River upstream. That'll get you all the way to Camp Verde.
Yeah. No. I mean, it was meant to get to the Arizona Trail. So the Verde was kind of just coincidental on that was how I was gonna what my pathway to get through the Matazals was gonna be.
Wow. Well, I've bushwhacked the west slope of the Matazals, and I know that had to be quite an adventure. No trail. It can get kind of thick. It can get kind of steep, and it can get kind of rocky. I want to talk about topping out there, and then I want to talk a little bit about some of the characters you met on the trail. We're here with Mike and Aaron Wellendorf, who hiked from Scottsdale to Flagstaff. More when we get back.
Home improvement advice, as well as special offers and discounts you can't find anywhere else. That's RosieOnTheHouse.com.